Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Psalm 34. And I just wanted to just consider this psalm and some of the themes that are expressed in it by David. Of course, it is one of the Psalms of David. And it's a psalm where he had a real meeting with the Lord. But what I want to look at is his testimony from it, right? What he testifies to us. Because basically, he's proclaiming how he met with the Lord in this experience. But then really he's showing us how we can meet with the Lord as well. How we can have the same experience. Well, hopefully not exactly the same because he was in jail, right? But how we can meet with God and be changed. Now, of course, as I mentioned, the heading says what was going on. And so in verse 1 it says, I'm reading this from the New King James, I just like how it words it. A psalm of David when he pretended to be mad before Abimelech, the king, who drove him away and he departed. And so this is referring to 1 Samuel chapter 21. And it's when David was having to flee from Saul. So in the early days he said, well, let's try hiding out in a foreign land. He's not going to, you know, come after me there. But the Lord said, not yet, David. You have to stay in Judah and experience a few more tribulations. And so what happens is, you know, he came to the country of Philistia and to the city of Gath, but he's arrested and he's brought before the king. Abimelech here, but his name is Achish in 1 Samuel 21. But, you know, he's on the run by his boss, trying to take his life. Right? And then he gets captured by the enemy where he's trying to hide out. And he's in a dark place, literally and figuratively, right, in that prison. And he's interrogated by the king. So that's not really like the best experience. You almost say like that's the lowest point of his life so far. But what does he do? He pretends to be mad. He pretends to, you know, go a little crazy. And he must have been convincing because the king let him go. Oop, a little flicker. The king let him go. But what is interesting in this psalm is the description of David crying out to God, of his heart, and then his testimony of meeting God. And so let's read that together if we could. Read in Psalm 34. It's really one of my favorite psalms. I have to turn there, pardon me. I didn't put the whole psalm in my notes. So Psalm 34 and verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast of the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him, and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions, they lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack or want any good thing. Come, you children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their trouble. The Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart, and he saves those that are of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. And you can see why this is, you know, one of those psalms that's good to go to and that's encouraging. You almost it's hard to tell without the heading that this he was in prison, right? His outlook is pretty good, right? Of meeting with God, of trusting in God, and that's why I so appreciate, you know, this situation, that God, it gives us hope that God will meet with us in whatever situation we're in, right? Even in the dark dungeon of the enemy, the Lord David cried out to God and met him and was brought out. You know, he was given a unique battle plan. You know, we've talked about David's life and how he always got his battle plan from the Lord. Well, this is one for that's kind of interesting. The battle plan was pretend to be crazy. And he got out. But he met with God and he got it from heaven. So, but there's one particular verse I want to look at. It's verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Now, I've considered this verse many times. I've preached on it before, but it was really quickened to me afresh about the context. Oh, taste and see that God is good. Where was David? He was in the jail, the prison of the enemy, and he's proclaiming, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So he was in great peril, fearing for his life, and he looks to God and he gets a taste of his goodness. You know, and it's almost as if there's that opportunity in difficult times, in perilous times, an opportunity to find and experience God's goodness, that he opens himself up, that we can know his goodness in those kinds of times. You know, and that's something we need. And we need to experience that in this life. In fact, there's another psalm David talks about this in Psalm 27 and verse 13. Again, let me read this in the New King James. We don't have that translation in the computer. I would have put it up. But it says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Have you ever been through an experience where it's like, man, if I don't get out of this thing, there's not a change, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I'm going to lose heart. And so David has been through that too, right? I would have given up. I would have lost hope. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I can experience the goodness of God in this life, in the land of the living. Now, he went through some seasons that were pretty rough where he didn't experience it, but he knew, I'm going to meet God in this. He's going to change this situation. He's going to turn it for good, and I'm going to experience his goodness. You know, in fact, isn't that the promise? I'll turn all the situations for those who love me are calling according to my purposes. I'll turn it for good. And what good is that? Is that we experience his goodness. And so, David met the Lord as he cried out to him. And we can see this in other verses in the psalm. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. Verse 17, the righteous cry, the Lord hears, and he delivers them. That's what he wants to do in our midst. You know, that's what he desires. That's how he wants us to know him and to experience his goodness in the situations of life we go through, or, you know, whatever pathway the Lord is leading us in. Of course, there's something we want to understand about these times of meeting with the Lord, right? Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Sometimes you wish you could erase that verse out of the, you know, but we don't want to do that. God said, don't take away anything out of his word. So there it is. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Right? God never promised that the Christian life would be totally one of ease and comfort. But he did promise us this. There's many afflictions, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. If we follow him, if we'll seek him and cry out to him, God will deliver us out of them all. That's his promise. Now, his timing and his way might be a little different. It might not match our idea of how he should be working and, you know, getting us out of situations. But if we are righteous, if we'll do what's right in God's sight, which is what that means, he delivers us out of them all. Now, as I mentioned, there are some themes that we can see in David's testimony that he shares, or certain traits you could have in order to meet the Lord. In fact, he says, come and I'll teach you. I'll teach you how to meet with God as I met you in this situation, met with God in this situation where he experienced the goodness of the Lord. And one of the first things we see is I read some of these verses before, but David had to cry out. Right, verse 4, it says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. In verse 6, this poor man cried. Right, David was not in an easy situation. He said, this poor man, he had nothing unless the Lord delivered him, but that God heard him and saved him. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. In verse 17, the Lord, or the righteous cries, and God, and the Lord hears and delivers them. Now, it seems like David did a lot of crying. Now, I don't know if it was a lot of boo-hooing, but it was crying out to God. And it wasn't just once or twice, right? He mentions it quite a bit. And I think it reflected the situation he was going through. It wasn't just, okay, God, here I am, meet me. And that was it. He cried out to God. But it was fruitful. God met him. And sometimes the affliction, you know, requires a lot of crying. Well, crying out, anyway. I realize the verse I'm going to give, this is in Isaiah 62:7. This is kind of in the context of Israel, but there's a personal context as well that I want to, you know, that it can speak to us on a personal level. Isaiah 62 and verse 7, it says, give him no rest. Speaking of us to the Lord, give the Lord no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. But there's this concept of how we can come to the Lord. We can come to him. It says, give him no rest. Now, it doesn't mean we're like bugging him to death or something. Actually, this Hebrew phrase means don't keep silent. Just don't be silent. Being silent is the worst thing that could happen. All right, if we just keep quiet and go on. But the Lord says, don't be silent. Speak and cry out till I bring you into that rest, that place where, you know, Jerusalem, speaking kind of the presence of the Lord, you know, when Jerusalem is appraised in the earth, God's presence is going to be there and he's going to dwell there and it's going to be glorious. And so basically we can take this on a personal level. Don't let there be any silence until God is dwelling in that situation with you, meeting with you, causing you to overcome and to triumph. Keep not silent. I don't think David was very silent, at least towards heaven and towards God. But basically, it's keeping our eyes fixed on heaven, upon the Lord in our situations, and that is powerful. It's powerful. You know, back in Psalm 34, verse 5, it says, they looked unto him, meaning the righteous. They looked unto God, and they were enlightened. Their faces were not ashamed. They looked unto God, and they received that light from heaven. Sometimes it's the hardest thing in a situation just to keep looking up, just to keep praying and keep persevering. To pray and not to faint. You know, that's the challenge. But Jesus told us that those who receive the promise are those who don't give up. They endure to the end. And so there's this concept, if we want to meet God as David did, we can't be silent. We have to cry unto him and cause our voice to continually be heard. Another thing we see is in verse 11. And let's read verses, Psalm 34, verses 11 through 14. It says, come, you children, listen to me. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desires life and loves many days that he can experience goodness? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Now, there's a lot that's in this thing, but something kind of jumped out to me is that, you know, David is saying, if you want to meet with the Lord, you know, listen to me. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. the fear of the Lord. Basically, the fear of the Lord is to have a reverence or respect for God's ways. You know, that we so love the Lord that we do what we think would please Him because we love Him and we respect Him. And we're afraid to do what's not pleasing to Him because we love Him. And we don't want to disappoint Him. Right? So basically, the fear of the Lord is being careful to always do what's right and pleasing to God. And we put that first in our lives over our wants and our desires. But then David says something interesting. We don't often associate verses 11 and 13 because he says, I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. And then he says this. He says, keep your tongue from evil. And I heard that collective, oh boy. Because that's the challenge in life, isn't it? All right? But we don't often associate that, the fear of the Lord. How can we walk in the fear of the Lord? Boy, what we say has a big part in how we walk in that. He says, keep your tongue. And this is so important because Jesus told us this in Matthew 12, verse 37. For by our words we are justified, by our words we are condemned. Right? It's really our own words. Right? What happens to us, you know, is often determined by what we say about the situation or about a person or about the Lord Himself. You know, our words are powerful. Sometimes just declaring something can set us on a different course. You know, there's a story of this missionary who went to a really difficult country. He was having hard experiences, and so he was like, Lord, why is things so difficult for me? Right? Why am I going through such hard experiences? And the Lord instantly brought him back to when he was young. And he was praying, and he said, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere. Take me to the hardest place on earth, and I'll follow you. So the Lord did that. And he went to a rough place. And, you know, that was his words. He had a little bit of Peter in him. Right? Lord, I'll follow you when everyone else won't. Maybe that was something the Lord needed to deal with. So he did take him to the hardest place. But you know, our reactions to things, to people, to situations, to God Himself, it's so important that we walk in the fear of the Lord. See, the fear of the Lord is so key. It'll keep us from speaking the wrong things. It'll keep us saying the right things, that we have that holy reverence for God in our words, in our tongue. You know, often we think of the tongue as James says. You know, James says that no man can tame the tongue, right? It's like a bucking bronco. And sometimes we're like, well, what's the point? But, you know, Jesus also said, Mark 9:23, he said, with man, it's not possible. But with God, all things are possible. It's impossible. You know, James said no man can tame the tongue, and that's absolutely right. But with God, we can change. We can change our outlook. We can change how we perceive situations. We can change how we react to situations, how we speak about things. Where before we would just be, you know, look at the negative, God can cause us to see beyond that, to look through His eyes with the view of His kingdom. And that has so much to do with how we react and what we say about situations. With God, all things are possible. And so we need to cry out to God, Lord, give us this power to bring our words and our reactions under the control of the Spirit of God. Of course, one of His seven spirits is the spirit of the fear of the Lord, and how we need that in our lives, how we need that in His church. I think we'd see such a huge change in God's church if the fear of the Lord was governing. You know, we need His Spirit. One last area I just wanted to mention, and there were many other areas in this psalm that's really rich for how we can meet with God, but it's in verse 18. Psalm 34:18. It says, the Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Oh, I forgot to put this in the overhead, but I wanted to read this in a different translation. This is in the ISV translation. But it says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He delivers those whose spirit has been crushed. He delivers those. He is near those who are brokenhearted, and he delivers those who have been crushed. You know, those who are broken in heart feel crushed by the situation. Sometimes you feel the farthest from God in that time. But David declares, no, God is near. At that moment, he is there to save if we will cry out to him, if we will be near him, you know, if we will respond to him. Of course, that's exactly what we have to do. All right, verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him. This poor man was probably being crushed by his situation or whatever he was going through. But when he cried, God heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And this word for cry is actually very strong. It kind of carries the idea of someone in the street and is accosting them. Like someone's crying out to them, like, no, I need some money, or I need some help. Please help me. That's the cry that this poor man is making. Right? Coming near, kind of getting face to face. And this is the cry that we can have with God, that God's saying that we can come unto him. Right? In one sense, we can accost God. We can get a hold of him. You know, you think of that story of the woman with the issue of blood. She had to do whatever it took to get a hold of God. And she did that. And because of that, she was healed. You know, that attitude of crying unto God. And that's why that attitude of heart is so important when we're crying out to God. You know, that we become broken. Allow ourselves to become broken in heart, in spirit, where we can say, Lord, you're my only hope. Lord, I'm going through this, and you're my only hope. You're my salvation. You know, even wicked King Ahab, I still can't get over that. You know, when you read about wicked King Ahab, the worst king in the Bible, you could say, at least from the kings of Israel, you know, married Jezebel. Together they were doubly wicked. But when Elijah prophesied judgment, it says he humbled himself. He put on sackcloth, you know, the clothing of mourning. And it says he walked softly. He just walked, you know, in fear of that judgment, respecting the Lord. And it says he humbled himself. And when he did that, God came back to Elijah and said, you see how he's doing that? I'm going to honor that. His response to me, I'm going to honor that. And I won't judge him in his lifetime. Well, he judged his son. But how much more will God hear our cry when we humble ourselves, when we cry out to him and we submit to him? You know, the humble cry will draw the heart of God. And this is what happened in David's situation. The enemy had him in their clutches. They could have done whatever they wanted. If things seemed dark and hopeless, but God turned the situation into glory and praise. It's one of the most edifying psalms where we lift ourselves up out of our situation. If we'll look to him, if we'll cry out to him. And so let's remember this psalm, you know, meditate on it, you know, take on the spirit of it. And let's remember verse 22, the last verse. It says, the Lord redeems the soul of his servants. None of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Right? We won't be disappointed. We won't, you know, we will be delivered. The wicked won't be delivered, but God will deliver those who trust in him. He will redeem us out of those situations. And Father, we just thank you. Thank you for this testimony, Lord, that we can see in the life of David. Lord, thank you that you are our deliverer. And Lord, we pray that you would just train us and teach us to set our heart upon you. Lord, that we would even learn in even the small situations we go through to put our eyes upon you and upon your deliverance, that you would be our help. Oh God, Lord, when we're in those situations, Lord, just cause us to turn our hearts to you, to yield to you. Lord, even be willing to be made poor of that there's nothing else that we can go to. Lord, and we just thank you. Lord, we just declare that you are our deliverer. You're our fortress and our high tower. Oh God, would you deliver us, set us in your pathway. Oh God, that we could walk with you. We ask and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.